Yeah. That better, yes? Excellent, good. Always good to make sure you can hear me before we start. Get all sorts of requests from time to time. Lots of people have told me recently I need to slow down when I'm speaking. The problem is when I've been away on holidays and if I go anywhere near Ireland, I tend to speed up. I want to begin this morning by saying a thank you to you. Some of you may remember, probably quite a few remember actually, I celebrated a birthday that I don't really want to mention the number of last September. And many of you very kindly clubbed together to give me a very special present. And in case you're wondering what it was, this is what it was. Not the plane itself, by the way. Much as I would have liked the plane, but an experience to fly in this wonderful Tiger Moth plane, which I really enjoyed yesterday. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. There's Biggles himself, just to show you I really did actually fly yesterday. It was the most amazing experience, down over Bodiam Castle, down over Rye, down along the south coast. I was allowed to fly it for a little while, but I think the guy who was with me didn't like me doing that for too long. But just to prove we did actually get off the ground, but thank you so much. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and just thank you for your love and that lovely token of a lovely present. Thank you. Amazing experience. Can't wait to do it again. There we go. Ephesians chapter 5, okay, so from Tiger Moth to Ephesians chapter 5, to essentially just one verse that we're going to unpack together this morning. The title over our service this morning is, How Can I Be Filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear that question, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Here's the verse that we're going to dig into this morning. Do not get drunk, Ephesians 5 verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder, have you ever found yourself in that place where you have sensed an acute longing for the presence of God? Sometimes that sense of longing comes when we face a huge crisis in our lives, and we just want more than anything else to know that God is with us. Does that strike a chord with some of you this morning? Crisis. God, I just want to know that you are there with me. Or you find yourself facing a particular choice or decision that's going to affect your life, and you say, God, I just want to know, what is it that you want for me in this decision? What is the direction? What is the way that you want me to go? Or perhaps like some of you this week, receiving really bad news about your health, or the health of someone that you love dearly. And your world's been turned upside down this week. And you just long to know that God is there with you in the middle of all of that's going on. But there are also times, aren't there, in our lives when we have that sense of longing for more of God, to know more of His presence. Perhaps even sometimes longing to hear an audible voice, which sometimes we do. Sometimes perhaps a sense of a picture or a glimpse of something that God gives to us. God speaks to us like that sometimes. But do you sometimes find yourself wanting and longing for more of God? Love the way Phil led us this morning. It's that sense of being thirsty and the living waters that Jesus offers us. Do you long for more of that this morning? But friends, as Christians, we believe something absolutely astonishing. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? We believe that the living God dwells in us. Wow. We believe, as Christians, that the living God dwells in us. I don't know if any of you have been to Israel. I've had the benefit of being able to lead a couple of trips over recent years, and one of the places you inevitably end up is Temple Mount. It's the place where the original temple stood, Solomon's temple, and then more laterally Herod's temple. And we read about so many of the places that Jesus went when he entered the temple courts, and we read about the holy place, and we read about the representation of God's presence dwelling there. And you visit somewhere like that, and then suddenly you realize that it is the same God that lives in us today. now. You see, becoming a follower of Jesus isn't about ticking a set of boxes which says, yeah, I believe this. It's about a relationship with the living God who pours his Spirit into us. The reason we had three readings this morning was essentially to remind you of some really important things that Jesus said to his disciples. Firstly, just before his departure, Jesus said something remarkable to his disciples. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another one just like me, to be with you forever. And then he went on to say this, but you know him. For he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Wow. When do you look at those words this morning and you find yourself thinking, yeah, I know that when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know that in my head. But boy, I want more of that in my heart. Well, the promise that we read about in our second reading this morning in some words that have become quite familiar to us over recent Sunday mornings from Acts chapter 2, where Peter stands up at the end of his great sermon on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit has been at work and people hear the gospel news and they're cut to the heart and they say to Peter, what are we going to do about this? And Peter says this to them. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, we know those words in our heads, don't we? But do we know them in here? Or to put it another way, what are your experiences of the Holy Spirit? You see, this whole teaching series that we started a few weeks ago, we entitled Flying Closer to the Flame. Lots of us stood on that first Sunday morning and we prayed. We said, God, please take us deeper into the things of your Spirit. We want to experience more of you. And the question for this morning is this: how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? So I want you to imagine for a moment you've gone out this door at the end of the service and you're having a cup of tea or a coffee, or if you've got there before the children, as Phil says, you've got a biscuit as well. And someone says to you, tell me, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I wonder how you would answer that question this morning. I see some of you puzzling and thinking quite hard, actually. Not the easiest question to answer, is it? How do I know? Maybe it makes us feel a little bit uneasy or fearful. Or perhaps even a little bit inadequate. Am I missing out on something that I'm supposed to be experiencing? But you see, here in Ephesians chapter 5, this verse that we're going to dig into this morning, we read these words, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. And one of the things that we're going to discover this morning is this, that this experience of the Holy Spirit is not a one-off experience that happens when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. We need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples did. If you open the book of Acts and you read through the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you read that again and again and again the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God as they faced new challenges and new adventures and new difficulties. And I believe more than anything what we need today is a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. I've been reading quite a bit this week about what some people have said about the Holy Spirit. I've been reading what people have said perhaps in previous generations, and here's some words from David Watson that some of you might know, and he wrote this. As he looked out across the church, across the United Kingdom, he said this, the crisis of the church today is not primarily doctrinal or moral, serious as those things are. He says, above all, he says, we face a crisis of powerlessness. Nothing less than the power of God can save the church from spiritual death and the world from total destruction. We need, more than anything else, spiritual renewal. Wow. Charles Spurgeon, writing in a previous generation, again wrote these words. He says, the grand thing the church wants in this time is God's Holy Spirit. My friends, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit today? Questions inevitably begin to surface when we speak about the filling of the Holy Spirit. We immediately find ourselves thinking, well, what are we talking about? What difference does it make? Do I need it? Does it really matter? So let's come back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 this morning. Will you unpack this with me this morning? Will you follow me as we look at it? One verse, and we're going to just dig a little bit more deeply into one verse. Often what we do is we look at passages of Scripture. Today we're pretty much into one verse. Let me give it to you in some different translations. I find it quite helpful sometimes when I'm looking at the Bible to go away and to have a look at what other translations, other versions of the Bible say about one verse. Here it is from the Bibles that we have in front of us this morning. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here it is in the New Living Translation. Don't be drunk with wine because that ruins your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. And of course, we can't leave out Eugene Peterson in the Message, can we? Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of him. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? We've acknowledged, and rightly so, that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. A few weeks ago, we were looking at the sense that the Holy Spirit takes up a permanent residence in us. He lives in us, and he will live in us forever. He's not on a short-term let. He is there permanently in us. So if he is already in us, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's see if we can unpack what's in this verse. There's five things I want you to notice about this verse. Here's the first thing that I want you to notice, and it's this. I want you to notice the contrast between wine and being filled with the Spirit. It says here in chapter 5 and verse 18, don't get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast being drawn here. The point that Paul is making is one of influence or control, isn't it? We sometimes talk, don't we, about people being under the influence of alcohol. We know what that looks like when we see it. It affects the decisions that people make. It affects the way that people behave. People end up doing things that perhaps they would never normally do. It affects decision making. It affects mental processes. It delivers temporary highs. And in the same way, the filling of the Holy Spirit produces a change in our behavior. It affects the way we think. It affects the decisions that we make. It affects the priorities we set. It affects the way we live our lives. Paul is not comparing these two. He's contrasting these two. So that's the first thing I want you to notice, the contrast that Paul sets up here. Second thing I want you to notice is that this is a command. What does Paul say here? He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not a great person on grammar, as many of you will probably tell me. But I have learned that this is in the imperative mood. And if it's in the imperative mood, it means it's something that you have to do. Be filled with the Spirit. This is not a casual command. It's not some sort of polite request. It is a firm, straightforward message from God that requires obedience. And God says to us, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not an optional extra for the followers of Jesus. Third thing I want you to notice, and again, I've really had to work hard on my grammar this week. This is in the present tense. The tense here indicates this is not a once-for-all experience, as some people might suggest to us. This is a continual experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What it actually says here is, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a one-off experience. What matters most is not whether you consciously recognize that you received the Spirit when you came to faith. You may not consciously recognize that experience or not, but what is important here is that you exercise the desire to be constantly filled with the Spirit of God. So it's in the present tense. You see it in the example of the disciples in the book of Acts, as we said a few minutes ago, that over and over again in the book of Acts, they are filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. They have a challenging situation to face, and they are filled with the Spirit. They have new challenges to face, and they call out on God, and they're filled again with the Spirit for new challenges. The filling of the Holy Spirit was never intended to be a one-off experience. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, I want you to notice here that this is not something that we can do ourselves. Again, I've had to work hard on my English grammar this week. It's amazing what you discover when you dig into these verses. This verse is in the passive voice. That means that this is saying to us that you actually need somebody to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. You cannot try harder to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is only something that God can do for you. And the fifth thing here is that this command is in the plural. Now, this is really important. Paul is writing here to a church like us. And he's saying to us, actually, this is not just an individual experience. Important though that is, this is for something for us to ask for together. Because as the Holy Spirit fills us individually, he transforms our corporate life. He gives life to our church family. He is the one who transforms the church from a social club into the living body of Christ. We can't do that by ourselves. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit, not simply for ourselves, but for the renewal and the reviving of God's church, not just here, but up and down this country. So here's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. There's the key, control you. To be filled with the Holy Spirit simply means that the Spirit of God who already lives in me has the controlling influence over my life. That's the challenge this morning. That's what this is about. That brings us to a second question, doesn't it? So what does it look like? What does it feel like to be filled by the Spirit? What am I looking for? What should I expect? Well, we've got the answer here in front of us this morning. If you've got Ephesians 5 open in front of you, you'll see that Paul lists some really practical things here. It's not an exclusive list by any means, but it's a wonderful taster. It's enough to get us started. And I use the word experience very deliberately here. He says in verses 15 and 16, he says this, we experience wisdom for living in this evil age. It's one of the things that we get when the Spirit fills us. We begin to see things as God sees them. We look out across this world and we see it through his eyes, not through our eyes. We develop a Christian worldview. We recognize that history is not going round in circles. We recognize, we were singing earlier, a day will come when Christ will return. Start to see things differently. We experience a sense of God's will and purpose for our lives. Verse 17, that's what Paul is saying here. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. When you walk in that kind of relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, you discover what is it God wants for you. We experience joy in spite of our circumstances, verse 20. He talks here about speaking in spiritual songs and hymns. It means that regardless of what is going on in our lives, there's a real depth here when the Holy Spirit is a controlling influence in our lives. It means that even when life is rubbish, we can still praise God. Because by the Holy Spirit, he's poured his love out into our lives. We experience thankful hearts. Verse 20. And in verse 21, we experience a whole change of attitudes. We start to look at each other differently. It says in verse 21, we start to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. My gosh, that's not natural. Trust me. And as you work your way through the New Testament, you discover all kinds of exciting things that we experience the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in so many ways. Later in the series of the autumn, we'll think about the fruits of the Spirit. He grows things like love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in us. We can't do that. But that's what it looks like when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We start to change from the inside out. We discover that the Holy Spirit prompts us and guides us and speaks into our lives. That he reassures us that we belong to God. He enables us to call God our Abba.
He speaks to God when we run out of words. There are times when he gives us a supernatural language that we can pray in that language, and because it supersedes ordinary language because we cannot express it in human words. The Holy Spirit shows us so many things about who God is. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, my friends, we're going nowhere. He's the one who brings life. He's the one who gives us power. This is the command, as we've seen. This isn't an optional bolt-on extra. This isn't for those who feel spiritually keen. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. My studies this week, I came across this profoundly moving description of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Some of you remember the ministry of Martin Lloyd-Jones here in London. Some of you sat under his ministry. Some of you who are older. Here's what he said about the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I find this very challenging. He said, let us realize then that the profound character of this experience, this is not something light and superficial and ordinary. And he went on to say this. He said, you will have such a depth of feeling that for a moment you may well imagine you have never felt anything in your life before. It is the profoundest experience a man can ever know. Just look at the depth of that experience. That's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. Which leaves us with a final question this morning, doesn't it? Probably the question is already forming in your mind, I expect, if you're with me this morning. How does it happen? How does it happen? Now, our experiences are not going to be the same as Martin Lloyd-Jones. Your experience will be different from his, because God gives us the experiences that are right for us, right for our personalities, right for our characters. This is not about comparing experiences. I just want to show you that when this happens, this is deep stuff. This changes us from the inside out. So how can we experience more of the presence and power of God in our everyday lives? Will you turn to Luke chapter 11 for me? I want to bring you to some words of Jesus. Chapter 11 and verse 9. But Jesus teaches us how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in essence gives us three very simple steps to follow. Many of us will know these words. So I say to you, verse 9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And here it comes. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see what Jesus is saying here? Firstly, he says to us, this is a gift that we need to receive. Verse 13, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And maybe this is where we get a little bit unstuck sometimes. That means that the gift of God's Holy Spirit, the filling of God's Holy Spirit, is not something that you and I can earn. This is not about trying harder. What do you do when someone gives you a gift? You open your arms to receive that gift. What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We get used sometimes, and please don't misunderstand me when I say this, that we cannot earn our salvation. We believe that as Christians. We understand a little bit of what grace means. But actually, do you know what? The same applies to the Holy Spirit. Cannot earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to accept the gift. Here's the second thing that Jesus says in this passage. We need to ask for this gift. This little passage that we've just read very briefly is all about earnestly seeking something that we desire. Asking, seeking, and knocking. That's what this is all about. God eagerly desires to give us more of His Spirit. We don't use this. We don't need special words. We don't need special phrases. God just says, I'm looking for earnest hearts. If you are serious about this, asking, seeking, knocking, that shows you that actually there's an earnestness about this. I want this. I want this gift. And here's the thing that probably wraps everything up for us this morning, because the last thing that Jesus says here is that you need to trust the giver. You need to trust the giver of this gift. As we discovered this morning, the filling of the Holy Spirit is about allowing the Holy Spirit to have the controlling influence over our lives. And being filled with the Holy Spirit comes down to whether or not I am willing to trust the giver of this amazing gift. Which of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Friends, there is no sting in the tail when God is the giver of the gift. We have nothing to fear. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we're back to where we started. Do not be drunk with wine that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Spirit fill you and control you. Drinking in the Holy Spirit, as Eugene Peterson puts it, huge draughts of the Holy Spirit. The question is, how thirsty are we? We're being encouraged this morning to seek the presence of God rather than an experience. Don't get hung up on the experience. This is about having more of God's presence in our lives. I love the way someone has put it. For me, it really kind of nails this morning for me. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that I have more of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit has more of me. That is the nail on the head, my friends. Means that the Spirit has more of me. So that leaves us with one question, doesn't it? Do we want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Do we want that? Is that something that you earnestly desire? Do you trust the giver of this gift to give it to you? Do you long to fly a little closer to the flame of God's Holy Spirit? Will you ask with me this morning as we pray? Is it something that you earnestly want? Trust the giver of this gift to give it to you. Let's pray, shall we, and do some asking as we come to communion. Paul says this to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Father, we thank you for the way that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. And because of your great love for us, we come with deeply thankful hearts. We see these emblems of bread and wine in front of us again, and we see on the wall an empty cross, because the price has been paid. We ask that you would forgive us for the times when we have grieved your Holy Spirit, that you would forgive us for the times we have quenched his power. We thank you for the great gift of salvation and for the great gift of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that there is nothing that we can do to earn these great gifts. And we come as your people this morning asking and seeking and knocking because we earnestly want to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And our prayer is that you would fill us afresh this morning so that we might live lives that are influenced and directed by you, the living God. Fill us with new life and new love and new joy and new strength. Fill every part of our beings, we pray, as we humbly claim the promise of your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us that we may live and work to your praise and your glory. We place our trust in you, the giver of all good gifts. We come not looking for an experience, but we come as thirsty people who want more of your presence in our lives. And we earnestly ask in faith, because we believe that you have heard our prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course we can. And probably more appropriately, we're going to come straight to communion this morning rather than singing our next song. As we come to communion, is the laptop working? Can I have that back up? Great. Possibly not. Yes, we have. That's great. Thank you. Here's what I want us to think about as we come to communion this morning. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean I have more of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit has more of me. Will you reflect on that with me this morning as we come to communion? As you think of what Jesus did for us, let's reflect on our response as we take bread and wine. Before we do that, let's pray a prayer of confession, shall we? Let's just pause for a moment before we pray these words together.